You're listening to Catholic Talk Radio in Chicago and the suburbs on Relevant Radio 950 AM.
Good morning. I'm Cardinal Francis George. For the next hour, the Archdiocese of Chicago will be hosting discussions on issues, people, and associations that touch our lives. Welcome to the Catholic Community of Faith.
Good morning. Welcome to Catholic Community of Faith. And I'm Father Greg Sackowitz, pastor of St. Mary of the Woods on Chicago's northwest side. What's that?
A frog in your throat. It looked like that.
My gun? There we go.
Did you interrupt me again?
A little frog in your throat. That's okay.
I thought we talked about
the fact that you're not totally prepared, despite the fact that we've been going through this for quite some time now.
I thought we talked about this before the show.
We did, but I can't control myself. You know that.
But it's Lent.
It's good to be back.
Yeah, welcome back from a little vacation with Dad and with your brother. So welcome home.
Thank you.
And I forgot where I left off. Oh, we have with us co-host Wayne Majors, Vice President and Chief of Staff, Loyola University of Chicago. New tie, Wayne?
It's quite a title, isn't it, Father Father Grassi?
I'm impressed.
Yeah, I'm not. Never have been. Never will. No. Wayne and I are great friends going way back. So how was your week, though, Wayne?
It was good. It was good. It was a nice rest to get out of town for a while and see some of the desert southwest. Parts of Nevada I had not been in before. I went through four seasons and a three-hour drive back down from Reno, and it was winter, blinding snowstorm, monsoon rains, and sunshine. So it was an experience. That's good.
Gave your dad a real eight-trip excursion there.
Right.
And you're listening to Catholic Community Faith, Relevant Radio, 950 a.m. Time is coming up exactly 9:02 on this Friday morning, and rain is expected, and even though spring has officially arrived, Wayne, it's a little snow expected this weekend.
Right.
But we've had more snow later in the year. We have a tremendous show lined up today. We have with us in studio Father Dominic Grassi, pastor of St. Gertrude's Church on North Glenwood in Chicago. Father Dom Grassi, welcome to Catholic Community of Faith.
Good to be with you this morning.
And Dom is one of the tremendous priest of the Archdiocese of Chicago, ordained, I think, in 1973?
73, long time ago.
Yeah, you're much older than I am, Dom, and we're both feeling it. Now, not with us in studio, Mark Teresi, who's Director of Development at Mundelein Seminary. Mark happens to be singing at a funeral this morning of a good friend of his, but we have some recorded music from Mark Teresi, with tremendous, tremendous voice and a great, great singer. Because we're going to do today here on Catholic Community Faith a little bit different. Father Dom Grassi and Mark Teresi have teamed up over the last several years to do parish missions. And Dom and Mark gave a mission at St. Mary of the Woods about 2 weeks ago. Tremendous, tremendous mission. And I said to the producers, Diane Dunnigan and to Jim Dish, we'd love to have Dom and Mark with us in studio to do part of a mission. Well, first of all, Dom, how did you and Mark end up hooking together with this concept of an idea of a parish mission with story and song?
Mark and I have been friends for well over three decades, and Mark helped out when I was pastor at St. Josephat when we were between music directors, and the thing that struck me most about Mark and his singing is not just the beauty of his voice, but he really prays when he sings, and he would often sing at Mass, and I would celebrate Mass, and one day we were just talking over a cup of coffee and said, wouldn't it be nice if we could do something together? And so we came up with the concept, which was very much scripture, song, story.
And there are a lot of different parish mission formats, if you will, Father Dom, that a number of parishes throughout the Archdiocese use, especially during Lent. What should someone who attends a mission, or maybe someone who hasn't attended a mission before, what should they really expect as far as an experience, both a faith experience and kind of a personal experience leading toward Easter?
First of all, I hope if when people come to missions, they come with an openness to allowing God's Spirit to work in their lives, to bring about the change that is necessary, to inspire them, to inflame them. So the purpose of the mission is to help people look at where their lives are right now, see what needs to be changed in their lives, and help them to find ways that they can bring themselves and others closer to the Lord.
So it's part of the journey of Lent.
Definitely a very important part of the journey of Lent. And it's coming back now. More and more parishes are having Lenten missions as a way of really revitalizing the faith community as well as the individual members of the parish.
But I find more and more that, you know, the older communities of a parish remember well missions in their day used to be, I think, five consecutive evenings for several hours. I sometimes think that for the younger people of a faith community, there's a sense of loss. So they really don't know what a mission is. But, you know, let me ask you this, Dom. Why Lent and why a Lenten mission?
Lent is the absolutely perfect time as we prepare for the mysteries of Holy Week and the joyful celebration of Easter to take the time to be in the desert like our Lord was for 40 days, to look at what's been tempting us in our lives, to look at those things that keep us from being all that we can be, a resurrection people, and to change our lives. So Lent is a perfect time to take one or two or three evenings or all day or whatever format is set up to turn ourselves back to the Lord.
Now, you are a great, great storyteller. You've written, I think, 6 books.
Mm-hmm.
The titles are
Bumping Into God, Bumping Into God Again, and Bumping Into God in the Kitchen, which has some family recipes as well as stories. Still Called by Name, Why I Love Being a Priest, and also co-authored with Joe Papraki, a book called Living the Mass, How an Hour a Week Can Change Our Lives. Then the first book, long time ago, Do You Love Me, a book on ministry in the church.
Now, the mission experience that you provide, Father Grassi, with Mark Teresi has stories in it. And clearly, when we talked just a moment ago about the mission experience being a time for not only openness but kind of but reflection in preparation toward Easter, it's also a time for kind of slowing down and an opportunity for the faith community to pause, to maybe try to get out of their minds the pressures, the distractions. And your stories really help that process, don't they? I mean, they're personal experiences and accounts of people that you've met in some cases of your own life, and they really put they put the listener in a place that really helps them slow down. Would that be a good descriptive of it?
Wayne, you asked me the perfect question.
Okay.
Because it really, what you're saying is really right on target. We have the story with the capital S. That's our story of faith that comes to us in Scripture, in the Catholic tradition, in 2,000 years of history. Then you have your story, all of your life's experiences, and I have my stories. And if my stories can touch your stories, and together with our stories, we can touch the story, then we've come closer to the Lord. So when somebody says to me after a homily or a mission, good sermon, good talk, that doesn't mean much. But if they say, you know, the story about your dad's fig tree, that reminds me about my father used to have a garden, and they go on with that, then the stories have connected, and hopefully the message of the story with the capital S will ring true.
I think what's so important is I always tell people that you know, during the season of Lent, a time of conversion, renewal, starting over, forgiveness, it's not so much what I do, but what I would allow the Lord to do through me. So sometimes, you know, we sometimes want to take ownership of what am I going to do this Lent. And certainly Lent is a time of giving up, but also it's a time of giving, and also the fact of letting the Lord touch our heart, our lives, what the Lord can do through us if we take the time to slow down. And Dom, just say about story is so important because everybody loves a good story.
Really?
Because your story would tap into my story. And if we take incarnation seriously, you know, God becoming one of us in every way except sin, then if you want to see the face of God, look in a mirror, look next to you. And then all of a sudden the stories that you're sharing at St. Mary of the Woods for our mission, along with Mark's beautiful music. And by the way, we're blessed at St. Mary of the Woods, where Mark Teresi directs our 9 o'clock contemporary choir. Marvelous song. And you're right about Mark. When he sings, he's praying twice. We're going to go to break here on Catholic Community Faith on Relevant Radio, 9:50 a.m. I'm Father Greg Sackwitz, along with Wayne Majars, and our guest this morning, Father Dominic Grassi, along with Mark Teresi, with music. When we come back, we're going to begin, in a sense, a mission. So if you have a chance, become reflective, prayerful over these next 50 minutes here on Relevant Radio, 9:50 a.m. in Chicago. We'll be right back.
Are you or someone you know experiencing the sadness of infertility? Are you committed to spreading the gospel of life? Then join us on Saturday, March 28th at the Marriott O'Hare for a major conference on Dignitas Personae, the new Vatican instruction on bioethics. Dr. Thomas Hilgers, a pioneer in assisting infertile couples to have children, will present on NAPRO technology. Neuroscientist Father Tad Boholczyk will discuss the Church's guidance on artificial reproductive technologies. Cardinal George will present on the dignity of the human person, and Bob Gilligan will discuss key legislative issues that impact our faith. This event is sponsored by the Archdiocese of Chicago Respect Life Office, the Office for Evangelization, and Relevant Radio. Attendance is $35 and includes breakfast, lunch, parking, and materials. For more information or to register, go to www.respectlifechicago.org or call 312-534-5355.
The Jewish and Catholic communities of Chicago will co-sponsor the 14th annual Joseph Cardinal Bernardin Jerusalem Lecture on Thursday, March 26th at 7 p.m. at the Lincoln Park campus of DePaul University. Professor John Levinson will speak on monotheism and chosenness, the Abrahamic foundation of Judaism and Roman Catholicism. Dr. Levinson is Albert A. List Professor of Jewish Studies at Harvard Divinity School and recently co-authored Resurrection, the Power of God for Christians and Jews with Kevin Madigan of Harvard Divinity School. At the lecture, His Eminence Francis Cardinal George will attend and greet the audience. The date again is Thursday, March 26th at 7 p.m. Admission is free, but reservations are requested. Please call 312-534-5325 to reserve your place. That number again is 312-534-5325. We hope to see you there.
Surely the presence of the Lord is in this place. I can feel His mighty power and His grace. I can feel the brush of angels' wings. I see glory on each face. Surely the presence of the Lord is in this place. Surely the presence of the Lord is in this place. I can feel His mighty power and His grace. I can feel the brush of angels' wings. I see glory on each face. Surely the presence of the Lord is in this place. Surely the presence of the Lord is in this place.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. There was a man named Lazarus of Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha, and he was ill. It was the same Mary, the sister of the sick man Lazarus, who anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair. The sisters sent this message to Jesus: "Lord, the man you love is ill." On receiving the message, Jesus said, "This sickness will not end in death, but it is for God's glory, so that through it the Son of God may be glorified." Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus, yet when he heard that he was ill, he stayed where he was for more than 2 days before saying to the disciples, "Let us go back to Judea." The disciples said, "Rabbi, it is not long since the Jews were trying to stone you. Are you going back there again?" Jesus replied, "Are there not 12 hours in the day? No one who walks in the daytime stumbles, having the light of this world to see by. Anyone who walks around at night stumbles, having no light as a guide. He said that and then added, "Our friend Lazarus is at rest. I am going to wake him." The disciples said to him, "Lord, if he is at rest, he will be saved." Jesus was speaking of the death of Lazarus, but they thought that by rest he meant sleep. So Jesus put it plainly, "Lazarus is dead, and for your sake I am glad I was not there, because now you will believe. But let us go to him." Then Thomas, known as the twin, said to the other disciples, "Let us also go to die with him." On arriving, Jesus found that Lazarus had been in the tomb for 4 days already. Bethany is only about 2 miles from Jerusalem, and many Jews had come to Martha and Mary to comfort them about their brother. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went to meet him. Mary remained seated in the house. Martha said to Jesus, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now I know that God will grant whatever you ask of him." Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." Martha said, "I know he will rise again at the resurrection on the last day." Jesus said, "I am the resurrection. Anyone who believes in me, even though that person dies, will live. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this?" "Yes, Lord," she said. "I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, the one who was to come into this world."
You who dwell in the shelter of the Lord Most High, who abide in the shadow of our God, say to the Lord, my refuge and fortress, the God in whom I trust. Be with me, Lord, when I am in trouble. Be with me, Lord, I pray. No evil shall befall you, no pain come near, for God's angels stand close by your side, guarding you always and bearing you gently, watching over your life. Be with me, Lord, when I am in trouble. Be with me, Lord, I pray. Those who cling to the Lord live secure in his love. Lifted high those who trust in God's name. Call on the Lord, he will never forsake you. He will bring you salvation and joy. Be with me, Lord, when I am in trouble. Be with me, Lord, I pray. Be with me, Lord, when I am in trouble. Be with me, Lord, I pray.
The family grocery store was never open on Sundays. Our Sunday routine was coming to Mass in the morning and gathering for Sunday pasta. Every once in a while, that routine would be broken. After morning Mass, we would gather into my dad's old Chrysler Windsor Deluxe, my three brothers and I in the back seat, poking and punching until we got one of those looks from Mom or Dad, and we'd take off in the car. There were no expressways. We would head west on Washington Boulevard under the dappled elm trees, and we would end up at Mount Carmel Cemetery. And as we got closer to the cemetery, the radio would be turned off in the car. My mom would reach into her purse, pull out a rosary, and we would all sit quietly as we got to the entrance of Mount Carmel Cemetery. When we pulled in, we turned to right. And if you went right when you pulled in the entrance of Mount Carmel Cemetery, you're going into the Italian section of the cemetery. If you pulled into the left, you're going to the Irish section. So, of course, we pulled to the right. As a little child, I would see all the names on the tombstones. They all ended with a vowel. So in my mind, I thought, gee, only Italian people must die because everybody's name ended with a vowel. We would get to our family plot, the tombstone that had our family name on it, and we would get very quiet as we stepped out of the car. My mom would go up to the grave, and there was my sister's name on the grave, Anna Maria. She had died at the age of 7 in the terrible polio epidemics that were the scourge of the city. My dad would go to the trunk of the car and get a little shovel out and bring out the plants he had brought to plant around the tombstone, and my brothers and I would be very quiet. I'd watch my mother begin to cry, and not knowing what else to do, I would grab her by the hand, hold her hand, and wonder what I could say or do for her. I would listen to her, but I couldn't quite make out what she was saying. She was talking to my sister, if she was praying, probably was a combination of both. And when my dad got finished and my brothers and I would walk to the car, we wouldn't mind waiting as my mother said one last prayer at the graveside of her daughter and we'd come back to the car. We'd get in the car and very quietly leave the cemetery. As we got a little further away from it, heading back east, the radio would come back on. We'd start to talk and laugh. We'd get home and Mom would start the pasta for our Sunday pasta lunch and life would go on. Many, many years later, decades later, I walked into my mother's house, and she sat me down and said, I want to tell you about a dream I had last night. And she talked to me about the dream. My father had been dead a few years, and the dream was that she was standing holding my sister in her arms as a baby, and she was waiting for my dad to come and pick them up. And she waited and waited, and Dad hadn't come. So she started to walk with her daughter in her arms. She said, then we got lost. And I asked her, well, what do you think that meant? She said, well, I woke up, I felt okay because I knew that Dad would be coming for us eventually. Then I asked her, in retrospect, was really a stupid question. I said, Mom, does it hurt as much now as it did 50 years ago when you lost Anna Marie? She looked at me very quietly and she said softly, sometimes even more. When my mother died, we had a wonderful funeral celebration. Two things happened at that funeral mass. One was some people came up to me afterwards and they said, you were smiling through that whole mass. Can you tell us why? And I said, I'll tell you in just a moment. Because the other question was, what was that cloth that was placed over the coffin of your mother? My mother was a crocheter par excellence. She would crochet afghans for everybody in the family and baptismal blankets for all the grandchildren and even great-grandchildren she was having. So I said, Mom, I'm not going to have any grandchildren or great-grandchildren, but I want an afghan. So she crocheted me a beautiful, beautiful white ivory afghan. And I put it away when she gave it to me because I was afraid it would get torn or snagged or dirty. When came time for her funeral, I said, what better funeral pall could we put over her coffin? So I brought it out for that reason. And then I told people why I was smiling. I was smiling because in my heart I knew at that particular moment when we were celebrating her life and her legacy and all that she had left us and all that she had taught us, my dad had finally come for her, placed my sister Anna Maria in her arms, and together they would see the Lord in the eternity of heaven where every tear is wiped away. And I am left with the afghan that after I'm having a bad day, I can wrap myself up in and feel the presence of her love and the love of our family, and I don't feel alone. I know that they are with me. And it's precisely in the love that we share with one another, precisely in the love that we have as family, precisely in our belief that that love surpasses time and space, that we find what our faith is all about. In this season of Lent, we pause in all that we're doing, the busyness of our lives, the things that we think are so important, the things that we think are so necessary, the schedules that we have to keep and the appointments that we have to make. And we pause and we realize this is Lent. God doesn't need Lent. We need Lent. We need Lent as a time to repent, a time to change our lives, a time to look at all the blessings that God has given to us and share those blessings. We need the season of Lent because we're going to move into the incredible, wonderful mysteries of Holy Week. And in those mysteries of Holy Week, we celebrate Jesus first gathering his disciples around them, and he serves them. He washes their feet, and he shares a meal with them. And he says, do this in memory of me. And this, of course, means celebrate the Eucharist, celebrate my presence, my body, my blood with you in the sacrament of the Eucharist and the celebration of the Eucharist. Gather together to celebrate this. But it also means do this in memory of me. Do what I did. Serve one another. Be there for one another. And if we do that, then the mystery of Good Friday is not a terrible failure filled with death and despair, but it is an incredible victory of life and hope. The cross is not a symbol of failure, it's a symbol of victory. And that will lead us most surely on our life's journey to the empty tomb Easter Sunday morning, where we will be told that he is risen, and the risen Lord will be with us and stay with us in our hearts, in our souls, in our being. And again becomes our task to take that presence of the Lord to share it with others, certainly to share it with our family and our friends and our loved ones, certainly to share it within our faith communities, in our churches and our parishes, by volunteering, by coming together in prayer and in action, certainly to share it in our communities and our neighborhoods that are longing to find where God is in all of this, to share it in the workplace, to make the workplace sacred, to share it with those we see, but also to share God's loving presence with those who are invisible, those who don't have any power at all, those who are forgotten, the homeless, the hungry, the poor, the refugee, the neglected. All of that comes out of our human experience of celebrating life, life at moments of birth, life in moments of growth, and even life at the moments of transition that we call death, transition into new life. We are resurrected just as Jesus is resurrected. That gives us great hope. And Lent, if nothing else, becomes that season of hope. This year especially, I sense people feeling the need for Lent. With all that's happening in our country, with the economic issues that are there, with our country still being at war, with our country still dealing with people who are out of work now and frightened what that might mean, with those who are homeless and those who are destitute, with people trying to find meaning in their lives in a way they've never had to do it before, this Lent becomes an opportunity for us to, like Martha and Mary, determine why we want Jesus with us, so we can feel the presence of God's love, not only with us, but the resurrected presence of God's love, just like it was there with Lazarus and all of our sisters and brothers, all of God's children, everywhere and every place and every particular situation we find ourselves in. Let us make this Lent that time of new life.
God on high, hear my prayer. In my need, you have always been there. She was young. heaven blessed. Bring her home, bring her home, bring her home.
You are listening to Catholic Community of Faith with Father Dom Grassi, our mission radio presenter, and Mark Teresi. I'm Father Greg Sackwitz, along with Wayne Majars. Time is 9:31 in Chicago. Stay with us. We'll continue our radio mission after a break.
How soon they fly on, and we'll be old, and we'll be gone. Bring her peace, bring her joy. She was young, a daughter of laughter and joy. You can take, you can give. Let her be, let her live. Bring her home, bring her home, bring her home.
The cemetery ministry is a core ministry of our Catholic faith tied to the corporal works of mercy. Cardinal George says, "It's comforting to know that our Catholic cemeteries are caring for the remains of our loved ones awaiting the resurrection." There are 43 Archdiocese of Chicago cemeteries willing to help you during times of loss. Call 708-449-6100 for assistance. Catholic Cemeteries, serving the Catholic community since 1837.
We asked people all over America, what have you done for your marriage today?
It's a good question.
Boy, I gave a huge hug this morning, like a really big squeeze.
I took the baby while she worked.
I got up with the baby while he slept.
Yeah. We've actually organized a date night tonight.
I cooked my husband's favorite breakfast.
Well, I've done today what I usually do, and that is obey.
What have you done for your marriage today? Don't forget the small stuff. Need ideas? Go to foryourmarriage.org. A message from the Catholic Communication Campaign.
This is Cardinal Francis George with a personal invitation to join my internet-based network. Beginning in Holy Week, it will be my pleasure to send you short reflections to help you on your spiritual journey. You can sign up by going to our website at www.archchicago.org. All we need is your email address. That's www.archchicago.org. Thanks for joining the Cardinal's Network as we use the internet to help spread the gospel of Jesus Christ.
You're listening to Catholic Talk Radio in Chicago and the suburbs on Relevant Radio 950 AM.
Every Monday through Friday from 9 to 10 a.m., the Archdiocese of Chicago presents programming about the people, the issues, and the faith that affect all our lives. Thanks for staying with us here on Relevant Radio 950 AM. Now again, the Catholic Community of Faith.
To do your will is my desire, to live in you, Lord, is my life, to spread your love through all the earth, to find in you the joy of life. All of my days I'll sing your praise. Through all my nights you are my light. You will shine forth through all my years and joyously you'll bring me home. I search this world so restlessly, seeking a home from hate and strife. I found in you the strength to see the meaning of this troubled life.
My father had a hard time dealing with the death of his daughter Anna Maria, the oldest of his children, the apple of his eye. She was very special, like any daughter is to her father. One of the things I noticed as I was growing up, I was born 10 months after my sister's death, that my dad never talked about his daughter, and he never, ever mentioned her name. So after I was ordained a priest a few years, and I had celebrated sad funerals of children and dealt with parents and counseling situations, I asked my dad one day, I said, "Dad, you never talk about Anna Maria." My dad was never a man of many words, and so he told me the story of coming home from the store, my sister being sent home from school with a headache and a high fever and a stiff neck, and those were all the signs in the 40s of polio, the doctor putting her in an ambulance and taking her to Cook County Hospital, my dad following in the car, honking the horn of the car to stay up with the ambulance, and getting to the hospital. And they had this big ward, and the parents were not allowed in the ward. They were behind a glass wall, and they would see their children from a distance in the ward. And when the nurses came and took the parents out of the waiting room, that was a sign their child had died. It took a weekend before the nurse came and got my mother and father. My sister Anna Maria was buried in her first communion dress. She made her first communion on her deathbed. And even the wake, there was a glass wall that separated my dad and my mother from my sister. No wonder it was so painful for them. No wonder my dad had a hard time speaking her name. As the years went on, I saw my father, this strong man who could lift a 100-pound sack of potatoes onto a counter in the grocery store, grow older, grow more feeble. The one thing he made me promise is that he would die at home and not in the hospital. And so I kept that promise for him. And toward the end, he needed care at home because he would fall. He couldn't keep up on his feet with his lack of strength. So there was a mother and two daughters that worked at Columbus Hospital. They were a wonderful family that we hired, and they would do 8-hour shifts to help my mother with my father. And one night, as one of the daughters was feeding my father, my mom looked at her and said, "He's going to die tonight." And the nurse's aide took my dad's vital signs and said, "Mrs. Grassi, he's fine. Why do you say that?" She said, "Well, he ate 2.5 hot dogs. They always want a good meal before the journey if they can get one like that." And later on that night, before going to bed, my mother kissed him and said goodbye and not good night. And she turned to the nurse's aide and again said, "We're going to lose him tonight." And the nurse's aide took his vital signs again and said, "Mrs. Grassi, he appears to be fine. Why are you saying it now?" So he's looking for somebody. He's looking beyond the horizon. And my mother went into the other room and went to bed. About 2 in the morning, the nurse's aide woke her up and said, "Mrs. Grassi, your husband has died." And my mom said, "I knew he would." And then the nurse's aide asked my mother a question. And when I got home a few hours later, when I got word and before I went in to bless my father's body, the nurse's aide came and told me exactly the same story. So these weren't my mother's words, things that she thought she might have heard, but these were the words of the nurse's aide herself. What had happened was the nurse's aide, so that she would keep my dad from falling out of the bed when he would try to get up and stand, would put a chair up next to the bed and put her feet on the chair as she sat in it, so that if my dad tried to get out of bed, it would bump her, it would wake her up if she fell asleep, and she would calm him down and put him back asleep. About 2 in the morning when she awoken, my dad wasn't trying to get out of the bed, but he sat up in the bed, and he put his arms out and held them out, and he said the name Anna Maria. Then he said the name a second time. Then he smiled, according to the nurse's aide, put his head back on the pillow, and took his last breath. As amazing as that might sound, it is even more amazing because the last 2 years of my father's life, he was unable to speak a single word. Small strokes had taken away not only some of his strength in his legs, but had taken away his power to speak at all. And so when the nurse's aide woke my mother up, she said to my mother, "Who is Anna Maria?" My mom said, "That's our daughter who died." And the nurse's aide told my mother what my dad had said. And mom just smiled and said, "She came for him. It's been a long, long wait, but she came for him." The power of our faith that transcends even the human condition is incredible. The power of our hope and trust in God is what motivates us and keeps us going and animates us. But most importantly, is the power of God's love that brings us the life that we need, not only in our mortal human bodies that will fail us, but the life that will stay with us throughout all of eternity. A life that joins us in love to our eternal God in the eternity of heaven, and joins us with all our loved ones in heaven, where every tear will be wiped away. I heard this story. I walked in the room to bless my father. My brothers and my mother followed me in, and he lay there. Not only was he at peace, but he had a beautiful smile on his face. There's no doubt in my mind that my sister Anna Maria came for him. So in this season of Lent, as we struggle with our human conditions, we struggle with our sinfulness, our limitations, we struggle with our health issues and the issues of health in our loved ones, we struggle with our human relationships not being all that they can and should be, we struggle with our doubt about what the future might hold for us and for all of our loved ones and our families, we struggle with those whom we wish to be closer to, and somehow there are barriers that have been built up between us. In the midst of all these struggles, our Lenten journey tells us what we celebrate on Easter is resurrection, is new life, is God with us. Our faith, our hope, our love will make a difference that can be heard even when it isn't spoken, a difference that can be spoken even when it isn't always heard. So I invite all of you who are listening today to pause and to look into your own hearts. What voices do you need to hear? Who do you need to come to you and embrace you and bring you to peace, to bring you to the Lord? What can you do the rest of this season of Lent to strengthen that faith, that realization that in the midst of all of our doubting, our God is there for us and will never abandon us, will always be there for us? What can we do to increase our trust in the Lord, that no matter what happens to us in the immediate future and the far future, our God will always walk at our side and be with us. Even when we can't articulate and speak out our words and our needs, our God knows what we need, and God is there for us. And most importantly, how can we love? For the more that we love, the more space we leave in our hearts for God's love to be there with us. a love that transcends human life, a love that transcends all the difficulties that are placed there before us through our sinfulness in the human condition that surrounds us. What can we do to find the presence of that love and to share it with our sisters and brothers? What can we do to spread our arms out and welcome those who will bring us to the Lord this Lenten season? What can we do to know that our God is with us? And we ask for God's help as we pray God's words given to us by Jesus in the Lord's Prayer whenever we need that faith, that hope, and that love.
I have loved you with an everlasting love. I have called you, you are mine. I have loved you with an everlasting love. I have called you and you are mine. Seek the face of the Lord and long for Him. He will bring you His light and His peace. I have loved you with an everlasting love. I have called you, you are mine. I have loved you with an everlasting love. I have called you, and you are mine. Seek the face of the Lord and long for Him. He will bring you His care and His love. I have loved you with an everlasting love. I have called you, you are mine. I have loved you with an everlasting love. I have called you, and you are mine.
You're listening to Catholic Community Faith in a special way, our radio mission here on Relevant Radio 950 AM. I'm Father Greg Sackwitz, along with co-host Wayne Majars, and our radio mission presenter has been today Father Dominic Grassi, pastor of St. Gertrude's Church on Chicago's Northwest Side, and beautiful music provided by Mark Teresi. Stay with us here on Relevant Radio 950. Time is coming up on 9:49 in the morning, and we'll be back right after a break.
If you haven't read the Catholic New World lately, you're in for quite a surprise. It's bigger, bolder, and better than ever before.
The Catholic New World is a rich and diverse resource for Catholics throughout the Archdiocese of Chicago. It carries stories of faith, hope, and inspiration. Our most read column is written by our publisher, Cardinal Francis George, our shepherd, teacher, and leader.
Our columnists provide support in spirituality and evangelization, and you'll want to browse the Around the Archdiocese page, your gateway to Catholic activities throughout Cook and Lake counties.
In our next few issues of the Catholic New World, as well as on our website, gather tips to enhance your Lenten journey.
Visit our website at www.catholicnewworld.com. View our photo gallery, catch up on the latest news, and while you're there, subscribe to the Catholic New World or call 312-534-7777.
Better than ever, subscribe now to the Catholic New World.
And welcome back to Catholic Community Faith on Relevant Radio 950 AM in Chicago. Time is coming up on 950. I'm Father Greg Sackowitz, and co-host Wayne Majars had to leave to get to a morning meeting. So thank you, Wayne. And we've been with us this morning for our Catholic Community of Faith, in a sense, our radio mission with presenter Father Dominic Grassi, pastor of St. Gertrude's, and beautiful music provided by Mark Teresi, development director at Mundelein University of St. Mary the Lake, Mundelein Seminary. Dom, beautiful, powerful stories from your own human experience. What is the value of sharing those stories?
We all have stories, and in the busyness of our lives, we fail to connect with them sometimes. So when you tell a story, you're giving people the invitation to share their stories, to look into their hearts and find their stories. I remember once giving a mission in a parish in the northwest corner of the city. The pastor came up to me after the first night and said, "I wish I had stories like that to tell." And here he was, been a priest 40 years. Of course he has the stories. He just hasn't had the time to just think about them and put them together. The more stories you tell, the more stories you find. It's like opening a door and they all come tumbling in, a closet door.
So when you tell a story, what really happens is you, in a sense, bump into the stories of everybody in that church, in that room. So as you were telling the story about your father and as he called your sister's name Anna Maria, Anna Maria, then people tap into their own experience of their own mother or father passing away or losing a brother or sister, but connecting us to the more, to the presence of God.
Exactly. And the story doesn't have to be identical. There just can be something in there that clicks something inside of us. And so you can hear the same story three or four times. It's never told exactly the same way, and it's never heard exactly the same. We all bring our experiences when we, up to the point we tell the story, all bring our experiences up to the point we hear the story. And that's what makes it so rich, that there's so much you can unpack in all of these stories. That's why Jesus spoke in stories. His parables, we've heard them countless times. They've been read over by theologians and described by preachers and read by countless people, and yet they're still rich and full for each one of us.
What I find very interesting, like the story that Wayne read in the first half hour, the Lazarus story, we've all heard that story so many times. Take the story of the prodigal son that goes on and on, the beautiful stories, parables of Jesus. But because I am not the same person today as I was a year ago or 5 years ago, I'm not quite going to hear it the same way. And someone asked me, why do we have Lent every year? Well, first of all, as you said earlier, Dom, God does not need Lent. We do. But somehow, to tap into story and somehow on the journey, because we are not the same as we were a year ago, physically, mentally, spiritually, emotionally, we are different.
Many times I've seen the play Death of a Salesman. And I remember when I was younger, I used to identify with Biff, the idealistic son. Incredible moment when I went to see the play later on in my life, and all of a sudden I was feeling more like Willie Loman, the older father with the weight of the world on his shoulders. It was an incredible moving experience. Same story. I'm the same person, or am I, hearing that story? Incredible change in me. And if a simple story by a playwright can do that, what can the Word of God do to us?
And I think, you know, I'll mention this right now, but please go to our website for Lenten resources at www.archchicago.org, www.archchicago.org, for Lenten resources, that this is a profound time of year to make the time, to take the time to slow down in prayer. And I always say to people, prayer is not so much my getting God's attention. Prayer is the Lord's getting my attention. And when you connect it with story, and also talk about this for a second, Dom, over that coffee a few years ago, you and Mark had an idea to do a parish mission, story, scripture, song. Talk about, as we were listening to some of the beautiful music with Mark's incredibly prayerful, beautiful voice, how music connects with the whole theme of a mission and story.
If you look at the history of the human family, first stories were told in music. It is a beautiful way to convey our stories because it adds that dimension of emotion that the story itself, the words, may not have. It allows the words to be sung more slowly, gives us time to reflect and to make it part of who we are. And that's why Mark's music is so blessed, because it is being sung as a prayer. And that's what allows the story that comes to us in the music to connect with the story that is spoken, to connect, most importantly, with the Word of God in Scripture. And again, what comes together in all of that is the incredible gift of God's grace, the insight we come to in that moment. And that's really prayer. And that's why Lent is, as you said, a time to pray, a time to slow down the pace, to give ourselves the gift of the time that we need to hear God speaking to us.
And also, when you tell a story, in some ways you become vulnerable because you are sharing a part of yourself. And I find sometimes many people find it very difficult to share a part of their story. They become a closed book. So in the stories you are sharing, Dom, and I know in your books, in fact, by the way, your books can be purchased where and through whom?
Through Loyola Press itself. You can call them or email them. They're on Amazon. They're either in the big bookstores or the small bookstores or can be ordered by them.
And the thing is, in the writings you have done, as you said to me during our parish mission in St. Mary of the Woods, writing for you is a way just to relax, to kind of unwind, but to put on paper and better connect the mystery of God with your own life.
It's one of the ways I pray, definitely, is in my writing and in the stories. When you tell a story, you're giving people the invitation to be vulnerable and share their stories. When I do workshops on storytelling, that's what happens. I invite them to share their stories about one thing or another, and pretty soon you hear at the tables laughter and glee and applause. And then you say, okay, come up to the microphone, and people never thought they would step up, come forward and start sharing the stories. They just need to be invited. The best invitation is hearing a story.
And people love to hear a story. Also, you know, I love walking through a bookstore, and we have so many books on mastery, how to gain weight, how to lose weight, how to control temper, all these areas on mastery, how to use a computer, how to birdwatch, whatever. And sometimes we get so invested into mastery that we forget about mystery.
Good point.
You know, mastery versus mystery.
Just tell the story. Whoever it comes out is going to have an impact. And so, you know, we're getting close to Easter. If you're going to sit around with your family for a big Easter dinner, spend some time telling stories. Let the next generation or two hear the stories of the family. How we don't want them to be lost.
To keep it alive.
Young. Exactly. We don't want them to be lost. And in those stories, there's faith, there's hope, there's trust, there's love of God.
Well, first of all, we need to bring this program to a close to Father Dominic Grassi, pastor of St. Gertrude on Chicago's Northwest Side. Dom, thank you very much for sharing profound stories. In a sense, it's been the Catholic Community of Faith radio mission here on Relevant 950 AM. Special thanks to Mark Teresi providing incredible, beautiful music as part of our radio mission today. Special thanks to our co-host, Wayne Majars, to our producer, Diane Dunnigan, for excellent job. Engineer Michael May, wonderful work again. Again, Lenten resources for the Archdiocese, www.archchicago.org. God blessings during our continued Lenten journey.
Ave Maria, gratia plena, Maria, gratia plena, Maria, gratia plena, Ave, Ave Dominus, Dominus tecum.
This is Cardinal Francis George. Thank you for being with us this past hour on Relevant Radio 950 AM. Join us every day, Monday through Friday, as the Archdiocese of Chicago presents the Catholic Community of Faith. Have a wonderful day and God bless you.
Et benedictus fructus ventris, ventris tui, Jesus.